Welcome our show,
June 30th, 2007. Hare Krishna and good evening everyone. Welcome. Hare Krishna, good evening, welcome everyone. So happy to see so many people. The hall is full. We would have liked a few more new people, but so on behalf of for the pleasure of Srila Gurudev, Sri Sri Radha Govinda and Sriman Mahaprabhu, and on behalf of the Ganga Matas, the London Yatra and the UK Yatra, we would like to give a very warm welcome to our dear god sister Srimati Shyamarani Didi. We are greatly honored to have her here. She has been a staunch devotee for many, many years, for 40 years or so, and she is rumored to be Srila Prabhupada's first woman disciple, and she has been painting devotional pictures for many, many years. So she has been painting under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, and then under the guidance of our Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. So we know that the real artist behind everything is Krishna, because he created everything beautiful and aesthetic. And the real artist that we know is Srila Gurudev, because only under his guidance can she produce such amazing artwork, and can we do anything at all. So it's all, he's behind it all, and we are eternally indebted to him. So I've been asked to say a few things. First of all, we have a desire to, following this event, we have a desire to also have Gurudev come here next year to England. Now, nothing has been finalized, we haven't found the venue yet, but we have a desire to bring him here, have the festival next year here. We want to become a yatra, and for that we need to develop some kind of warm, affectionate, respectful relationship between us. Like Gurudev says, tolerate and cooperate, that we should ignore all the faults and all the difficulties there are between devotees, because this is Kali Yuga and every endeavor is full of faults. We should just ignore this and just cooperate and tolerate and create that kind of feeling and energy and atmosphere that Gurudev would be compelled to come here. So then Shamarani Didi will also speak at the Ganga Matas tomorrow at 5 p.m. and then Monday, Wednesday and Thursday at 5 p.m. and even though the room is very small, all are welcome. So I will not add any more, just I'm very happy to have you here, Shamarani Didi, and I'm sure everyone is. So over to you. Thank you for coming. Vancha Kalpa Kuru Dosha, Kutasina Gyalu Saksi, Kananta Gandhiyo.
Chaksurandritam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikayai Pradalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadabhaktaya Namo Nama. Yam Pravrajanta Manupetam Apeta Vrityam Dvaipayano Virakataruvashuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobanidu Tam Sarvabhuta Hridaya Muni Manasosmi Bhaktya Vainai Aparadulakshe Chittasya Kama Tiranga Bhaje Kripa Maitvam Sharanam Prapadyam Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tavai Vasmi, Tavai Vasmi Najivami Tanvina Iti Vigyaya Radhe Tam Nayamam Charanantite. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nitya Lila Pravishna Om Vishnupad, Astotra Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad, Astotra Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So I've been asked to speak about the art that was created under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. As Shripad Giri Maharaj mentioned, the pictures are actually created by them, and trying to push their will through my will, it could not come out perfect, but something of them came out. So we begin here in Tompkins Square Park. You can all face this way. Can you get the lights all out?
Yep.
Thanks. It began here in Tompkins Square Park in 1966 when Srila Prabhupada, who descended from the kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, to this netherworld, appeared in America, in New York City, in the Lower East Side. And every Sunday, from 2 to 5, he used to perform his chanting of Hare Krishna with his first few disciples, and then he would invite everyone to chant Hare Krishna in their homes and become happy. And that's where I first met him, about 40 years ago. Next.
Oh, you want to show the clip?
Yeah. This is a movie of Srila Prabhupada at that time, chanting in the park.
Volume's not playing.
No sound?
Is there a trick to your volume?
Hmm?
How do you do the volume on yours? Shamarani Didi? Where's the volume on your computer?
I don't know, I guess go to the corner. Is it that same? Maybe that place is for the sound of the sun. A person who I'd never met, who was standing there when Srila Prabhupada and the devotees rolled up their rug and went back to the temple, asked if I wanted to go to the temple. So So I had never heard of Hare Krishna or the temple before, but I agreed, and we walked the 9 blocks to Prabhupada's 26th Second Avenue temple on the corner of 1st and 2nd Street on Avenue A. Then when we went inside, I was just standing against the wall, and I overheard two young devotees discussing with each other, and one was saying to the other, Swamiji just said that when devotees argue, they should consider those arguments just like clouds passing overhead. When clouds pass by, no one even notices it. So I thought that was very profound in the days of quarrel and dissension. Then somebody asked me to go up to Srila Prabhupada's quarters. So I went there, and in the back room, Srila Prabhupada was greeting guests just like he was an ordinary person, no pomp. And just as they were greeting him, he was greeting them. And I began attending his classes. He asked me, do you live nearby? And in those days, the days of the 60s, we all thought that we were the all-pervading Godhead, and we all used to take all kinds of drugs to help us think like that. So I said, thinking I was all-pervading, I said, yes, I live very near. So he said, good, then you can come to our programs every morning. So by the power of his words, I felt obliged to go. So every morning I had to take the 1.5 hour subway ride at 5 o'clock in the morning so that I could reach his programs, which started at 7 o'clock every morning, where he would sing Bandeham obeisances to his disciplic succession and glorification of the Panchatattva and the always the morning tune of Hare Krishna. And then after attending some classes, Prabhupada asked one of the devotees, what did I do? What kind of talent do I have? And he said I was an artist, but actually I wasn't really an artist, though I like to do art. I just previously, I was in college, and we had an art show at City College of New York, and I brought a friend to see our art show, and I said, can you tell which one on the wall is mine? And I was trying to be humble, so I said, well, it's the worst one on the wall. And he picked that one, which he thought was the worst one, and that was mine. So that's the kind of artist that I was. So still, when Prabhupada heard that I was an artist, he immediately called me up to his quarters, which was just behind the 26th Second Avenue temple. Behind the temple, there was a small courtyard. Perhaps some of you have seen that photograph with the bird bath. And just behind that, an apartment building, and Prabhupada resided on the second floor. So he invited me up there and asked me to paint for his temple, very historic temple. So he gave me the cover of the first transcendental Vedic literature that he had brought from India. And on the cover, there was a small picture of Radha and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his supreme internal power, Radharani. And he asked me to come up to his quarters. He even invited me to paint in his quarters. So I told him that I'm not sure about that because of the paint fumes. I didn't want to contaminate his whole apartment with the toxic oil paint fumes. And he said, no problem at all, just come up. So he was in his back room where he did his translating of his first books like Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Upadeshamrita, and where he greeted guests. And then I was in the front room where the devotees cooked for the Sunday feast and where Srila Prabhupada performed his short dupe arati to offer the prasadam that was then brought down to the temple room and served to the devotees and guests. And in that room, the second Lord Jagannath Puri's arrived from San Francisco, so it was a very historic place. So this is the second painting that I ever did, a copy of that cover of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as you can see, it's very childlike. And Srila Prabhupada, when the painting was finished, he again called me into his room, and he wrote on a very small piece of paper the mantra, Namo Maha Bharanyaya, Namo Brahmaya Devaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Namo Brahmaya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha, that I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who is very dear to the Brahmanas, the well-wisher of the Brahmanas and the cows and all the people in general, all the living entities in general, because he always wanted to educate people in all varieties of ways. So he wanted words even on the pictures, so that when anybody would come off the streets to see the paintings, they would also be imbued with the transcendental mantra. And even though, as you can see, the picture is quite crude, he had the devotees hang it in his very own quarters, where he performed his puja. This is a sample of how I was painting before I met Srila Prabhupada. It's a still life, supposedly, but actually, as you can see, it's a still death. There's no life, there's no soul there. And you'll see gradually through the various slides how Prabhupada transforms everyone. Okay. In a couple of months later, Srila Prabhupada gave me an Indian print which showed this picture of Krishna and Radha looking very young and very divine. And just before he left New York to open his second ISKCON temple in San Francisco, he gave me that print and asked me to do the painting. So then when he came back in April, a few months later, he left in November, and he came back in April. So we had that painting up on just behind his Vyasasana. And as usual, he offered obeisances to the picture and then climbed up, ascended his Vyasasana. And then he said, this picture shows Vedic culture. The girl is covered head to toe, and the boy is wearing just one cloth. And this is one of the first paintings that Prabhupada worshipped. This is another one that I did just before. You can see extreme boredom in the material world. Whereas in the spiritual world, every moment is a brand new experience. In the material world, even the brand new exciting adventures become old and stale. That's the nature of it. Whereas in the spiritual world, everything, instead of getting older, gets newer and newer at every moment. Nitya Navanabhaya Mana. Every moment is a brand new experience. Srila Prabhupada also gave me an ancient print of the Panchatattva, the five in one absolute truth, and requested me to paint it. So I did that up in his quarters, and then he ordered the first treasurer of his first temple, Gargamuni Das, to hang it over the side altar. Prabhupada's Vyasasana and lectern and that painting of Radha and Krishna was behind him. And then on the side wall, Prabhupada had this painting be hung with another altar underneath the painting. And after this presentation, you'll all be performing what's called arti, offering of various paraphernalia and scents and lights, fan, to the Supreme Lord in a very beautiful ceremony. So the way this ceremony began, first in Prabhupada's temple in San Francisco, and then in New York in 1967, when he came back, is that Prabhupada would have everybody sing kirtan as he did. Then he would give his class either on Bhagavad Gita or on the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj or on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then during the second kirtan, the devotees again would be chanting Hare Krishna, some would be standing and dancing in a circle in front of Prabhupada's Vyasasana. And then other devotees would be offering a giant tray with a little votive candle. You know those small votive candles in glass? And they would be holding it in a tray and making big circles in front of the painting to offer worship and offer their hearts, which is represented by the light, before the picture. And then that person would go and sit down, and the devotees were in a line. So some devotees were sitting down, some devotees were circling in front of Srila Prabhupada, and other devotees were on line to offer their arakshay so that everybody took turns and got a chance. So when the painting was first hung, Prabhupada said that this painting is fully spiritual. He said, now Lord Chaitanya is in the temple. Now there shouldn't be any nonsense or any talking about any mundane things, because we should honor the presence of the Lord. So he taught us right from the beginning that the Lord being absolute, just as he's non-different from his name, and when we chant Hare Krishna purely, he's dancing on our tongue with the full power of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. Just as Krishna can create millions of universes in a second, so then he can destroy them in a second, so his holy name has that same power. So the picture is also has the power of the Lord. So he said, so now there should be no more nonsense in the temple. So another painting that we did while he was in San Francisco and then presented to him was one copy of a Vrijavasi print, this Krishna as a young boy in Vrindavan. In 1968, Srila Prabhupada wanted to start his book publications. He had already brought with him Easy Journey to Other Planets from India, a very beautiful scientific book about the soul as the indestructible mystic divine entity within the body. And now he's getting ready to publish his Krishna book, which are the beautiful pastimes of Krishna when he's here on earth. So we didn't know anything about how to paint Krishna's pastimes except what he gave us to copy when he would give us the print. But now he was telling us to paint by sending us letters with descriptions, very short, one or two line descriptions of a particular pastime. And he wrote five descriptions in his letter. This is before the book came out, obviously, when he was just dictating the pastimes in a dictaphone machine, and then the typists would type them, and then the transcriptions would be edited and then proofread, laid out. In the meantime, he had me do the painting, and you can see it's still very crude, although there's a tiny bit of improvement. So here, Prabhupada explained in the letter how after Krishna appeared in his four-armed form as Lord Narayan in the prison house of Kamsa, then by the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki, he changed into a little baby, and Devaki's holding that baby in his arms. Okay. And even though these pictures are so crude, and even though Srila Prabhupada's divine literatures descended from the spiritual world, and they are the embodiment of Krishna himself, becoming manifest by the trance meditation of the literary incarnation of the Lord, that is Srila Vyasadeva, still Prabhupada accepted our crude pictures to decorate his books and be distributed in the millions to all kinds of people. The devotees would take the books to airports and bus depots and places where people get drunk and parks and festivals and what's that place in San Francisco, Fisherman's Wharf, where they cook lobsters alive and really horrible things. And Prabhupada knew that just by people absorbing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, they become free from their past sinful activities and become devotees. Krishna's pastimes are so powerful. This is another one that we did of Krishna dancing with his friends. Now we're jumping a little bit to Prabhupada's translation of the sixth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where he describes the creation, how within the Mahatattva, the cloud forming in a small part of the spiritual world, the Lord glances over the subtle material nature, which Prabhupada instructed me in a letter to paint as cloudy Durga, as a cloudy form of Durga, the personification of material energy. He was so merciful that we were mislearning in our schools and from science and from books that the creation began from a big bang or from microcosm organisms or from nothing. And Srila Prabhupada mercifully presented the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita along with the conceptions that he was giving us about how that would all look, of how everything is actually coming from the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, glancing over the material nature. Just as the husband impregnates the wife, so Krishna impregnates the material world with unlimited living entities. Okay. And here, for the seventh canto, the teachings of after the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, how the wise person who has the mercy of the teachings of a genuine guru is able to see the equality in all living beings. You can see the tigers and the peacocks and the birds and the fish and the horses and the people. The person who has real vision sees the eternal soul and the Supreme Lord in his form as the super soul sitting in the heart of every living being. So he's never in anxiety and he never hates any being or anything because he sees the Lord's presence and the Lord as the cause of everything. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that when you've taken instruction from a bona fide spiritual master, then you'll never again fall into illusion. For you'll see that all living beings are my parts and parcels, they're in me and they're mine. Okay. And speaking of the creation, Srila Prabhupada instructed us to paint for his third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the secondary creator who's creating under the order and guidance of Krishna. Before the creation of this universe, Lord Brahma, the four-headed first created being of this world, begged the Lord, "Now I'm going to create the universe, but I'm sort of worried because I'm afraid that I'll have a false ego of thinking that I'm the creator. And if I do that, then everybody born into this world won't be able to have any perception of you in this world. And thus, the purpose of the creation will be void. So please help me It struck me how I can be free from all false ego in my service to you, so that through my service, the people can realize you. So in reply to Lord Brahma's sincere prayer, Lord Narayan, Krishna in his forearm form, as the creator of this world, instructed Lord Brahma in the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, the original and essential verses of the Bhagavatam, where the Lord says that now I will tell you, O Brahma, some very confidential knowledge, and I will also give you realization of that knowledge so that you can be situated in the truth and free from illusion. Before creation, when there wasn't even the three modes of nature, only I existed. Whatever you're seeing now is only me. And after creation is finished, after dissolution, only I will remain. If you think that you're seeing anything that's not me, know that to be my illusory energy. Know it to be just like the reflection of a shadow in the darkness. It has no real existence, no substance. Therefore, knowing this, one should search me out, knowing that only I exist forever. One should search me out directly and indirectly, in all time and all space and in all situations. So here Lord Brahma is sitting on his lotus flower, which interestingly enough is coming from the lotus-shaped navel of Lord Vishnu, who spoke those verses. And just like a lotus flower comes from the water, the navel, the lotus navel of Lord Vishnu has a lake in it, transcendental lake, and from that lake comes the lotus flower on which Lord Brahma takes birth. So here he's creating the system of all the occupations and all the spiritual orders, day and night, oceans, demigods, all species of life. The Vedas are coming from his mouth. And you see some small images on the top. Is it possible, Anita, to zoom in on them at all? These are the five features of ignorance that are first created by Lord Brahma before he creates the rest of the universe. And these five features of ignorance are self-deception, fear of death, anger after frustration, false bodily conception. A little higher, can it go? To the five personalities on the top. And I wrote to Prabhupada because we had to, you can see somebody there, he's smoking in that first picture, and that's called self-deception. And you can see the second person is afraid of death, the third person is fuming with anger, the fourth is greed, and the fifth is a lady looking in the mirror, and a false ego that I am everything. So in the first picture, the first concept, that is self-deception, I was able to write to Prabhupada so many letters and get so many, I received 90 letters from Prabhupada, because we had to ask so many questions about what the pictures look like. Because Prabhupada wrote me in a letter that the Krishna's philosophy must be illustrated, but it must be according to the parampara revelation of the Absolute Truth. Can't be any concoction. Because that would ruin the book that it's in. So I asked, what do you mean by self-deception? So he said, you know something isn't good for you and still you do it. Like I tell my disciples so many things, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, and still they do the opposite. So this is self-deception. So I decided to make a picture of a man smoking because it's so bad for him, still he keeps going. Okay, next. And speaking of Lord Brahma, although Brahma is a pure devotee, in order to teach us our status in the world and how we have to be dependent and take shelter, and we're not all in all, he and Krishna performed a pastime where he went. Again, Brahma is the creator of the whole universe. And all the planets come from his stem under his lotus flower. So he was coming to visit Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And the guard at the door came and said, who shall I tell has come to see the Lord? He said, tell him that Brahma is here. So then he went to see Krishna and came back and he said, the Lord wants to know which Brahma has come. So Brahma was shocked. What do you mean, which Brahma? I'm the creator of the whole universe. So then he said, okay, I'm four-headed Brahma, tell him, the father of the four Kumaras. So then he was led in, and Lord Brahma asked Krishna, what did you mean? First, before I say anything else, what do you mean, which Brahma? Are there other Brahmas? So then Krishna immediately called for the other Brahmas of the other universes. And some of them had 1,000 heads, some 1,000,000 heads. And Brahma saw that he was the tiniest of them all. So you can see with the pointer, there's our Brahma, feeling like an ant in the midst of elephants. So I asked Prabhupada again, how am I going to paint all these heads? So he said, just try to do it in any palatable way, just to give an idea. You all know the example of Chandra Satanyai, the logic of the moon on the branch. If somebody says, where is the moon? I say, look, it's sitting on top of the branch over there. It's not really sitting on top of the branch. It's millions of miles away. It's even further away than the sun. But just to give an indication. So similarly, this gives an indication. Okay, next. This was done for Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he himself told the exact dimensions that the picture should be. He said the book's going to be printed 2x3. And so this is how the picture should be. And you should do so many. And he instructed us on which pictures to do. And how this comes about, where anybody knows what to do for Krishna, is he has a bona fide spiritual master who is the external manifestation of Krishna. That is, Krishna appears in two features in this world. One you saw in a previous painting as the super soul in the heart of every living being, directing everyone's wandering and awarding everyone the results of his past activities in this life. Whatever happens to us is a result of our previous activities. And how can one get his previous activities rewarded or awarded unless there's a witness? So the super soul is the witness of all activities. That's Krishna's internal manifestation. And his external manifestation is the bona fide self-realized spiritual master. So here, I think we did this for Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here the spiritual master is speaking to the disciple, and his hand is up in some giving some instruction. And as you see, the super soul is in the heart of the spiritual master and in the heart of the disciple, saying the same thing. So we can't hear the Lord speaking to us because our senses are imperfect. So he manifests externally as the bona fide guru and tells us what he would want to tell us, and we can't hear. And you see the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the altar, and he also has his arm up saying the same thing. Okay. And what happens if we don't follow the bona fide spiritual master and we don't follow Krishna's instructions? This is described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This Prabhupada translated about the court of Yamaraj, Yamaraj is the lord of death, and he has an abode. The wife?
Hi.
Just a moment, it'll come on. He has an abode, and he has agents called the Yamadutas, who you'll see in the lower left-hand corner of the painting. And whoever isn't following the instruction of the Lord and who's ever acting independently and sinfully, eating meat and hurting other beings and taking intoxicants. What else is there? Hurting people in all different ways. They have, at the time of death, they're taken by the constable of the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, and brought to his abode, and then he decides which hellish planets they'll go to. But for devotees, even those who are trying just a little bit, one who just makes the slightest endeavor towards Krishna under proper direction, he's saved from the greatest type of fear. In his next birth, he takes birth in the family of devotees. When it goes off, it takes a couple of minutes to come back on. Would anybody like to ask a question or make a comment while we're waiting? Yes? Loudly?
The idea that in Hinduism, that you get the deities with so many arms and heads and feet and everything, isn't that just a kind of metaphoric way of explaining their powers?
That's a very interesting question. He's asking because you're seeing in these pictures personalities with so many different forms, with so many different arms and so many different heads. So he's asking, isn't this just a metaphorical presentation to show power? Is that the question?
Yeah.
It does show the power, but at the same time, according to the scriptures, this is actually fact. We can't conceive that anybody could have more than two arms or more than one head, just as an ant can't conceive of a computer operator or two people doing Skype or even the life of a human being and the advanced technology of a human being or the varieties of foodstuffs that a human being might make. So similarly, we can't fathom that there are higher beings with more than two arms or more than one head, but actually they're all over the various universes. We also can't fathom that there are universes beyond this one. We learned in school that there are only 9 planets, but actually there are unlimited planets in each universe, and there are unlimited universes. And the Lord himself sometimes manifests with millions of arms. So it's not metaphorical, but it does show his power. And how can we come to believe this? By association, our faith is developed. If I associate with a certain kind of person and read newspapers and go to certain kind of schools, then I develop a certain kind of faith pattern. I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. I only have one life. But if I associate with devotees, particularly advanced devotees, and study the scriptures under them, which are presented to us by personalities who are free from the four defects, who teach us in material schools, and who write our newspapers, the defects of imperfect senses, cheating, the tendency to make mistakes, and the tendency to be illusioned. If we hear from bona fide sources, then our faith goes in another way. For whatever is outside my senses, I have to accept authority. Even who is my father, I have to accept from the authority of my mother, because I wasn't there. Just like that there's a war in a certain country. I can't see that with my senses. So I hear from the authoritative news reports about a war. Similarly, if I look up at the sun, I think it's a tiny little disc. But when I hear from scientific authorities, then I see that it's 92 million miles away from the Earth. It's so much bigger than the Earth. So I always have to learn from authorities. So similarly, for the science of God, that's also a science, and it can't be changed. 2 + 2 = 4, always 4. I can't change it to 5. So I can't speculate on that thing which is way beyond my senses. What is God? What is the kingdom of God? Who am I? What is my relationship? What are the worlds like beyond this one? What is actually in this world that I'm not seeing? So therefore, I need that kind of authority who's beyond those defects. And then my senses gradually become purified so that I can see all those transcendental personalities face to face. So one of the fortunate recipients of such mercy is Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi is that great sage wearing the deerskin in the middle of the picture. And this we did for the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was chanting the Lord's names, and he developed so much power, so much freedom from all the dictations of the illusory material world that Indra, the god of heaven, became envious of him. And so he sent Cupid personified, who keeps us all bound in this material world. All the species of life, actually, the aquatics, the birds, the reptiles, the plants, they're all, we travel throughout all these species because of our desires to enjoy our senses, particularly in the field of lust. So that being the main binding force, Indra sent beautiful damsels, more beautiful than we can imagine here on earth, where their very bodies smelt like divine lotus flowers, and heavenly musicians, and even lust and anger personified, anger and greed personified. And there's Cupid. Can you see Cupid right there with his bow and arrow? And anger and greed personified just behind him, lurking there and dictating, come and join me. And he's totally in bliss, chanting the Lord's names. So all the dancers were, dancers and singers and musicians were defeated and disappeared. And he got a benediction that he would never die for 7 creations and destructions of the whole universe, which lasts for millions and millions of years. Okay. Even though he got this benediction, if any benediction in the material world is always has its downside. So because of the time of each dissolution, there's great floods and storms, and the whole universe becomes inundated by stormy winds and full of ferocious alligators and crocodiles and man-eating fish. And because Markandeya Rishi couldn't die, he was stuck in it. And so he was roaming about for millions of years in this, thousands of years in this stormy waves of the universal ocean, sometimes unconscious, sometimes conscious. And then he finally came upon some land. This land was spiritual, so it couldn't be affected by the dissolution. And on this land there was a banyan tree. And on the banyan tree there was a leaf. And on the leaf was little baby Krishna sucking his toe. And why was he sucking his toe? Because he wanted to taste the same relish that great devotees and great sages taste by serving those lotus feet. So with that same ambition, he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste the essence of devotee's love. Next. And that's this picture right here. the one that's not on the screen, but right here in this jikle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. A small byproduct of pure devotion to Krishna is mystic powers. And here's an example of one devotee who had those mystic powers. Her name is Devahuti, and she is the wife of the great sage Kardama Muni. And she was serving him for many, many years without any consideration of her body and then her bodily needs. So then after so many years, it was time to bear children. So her husband sent her underneath a lake so that she could get beautified. And underneath this lake, there was 1,000 maidservants decorating her and dressing her and washing her hair. And again, I had to write to Prabhupada because I was wondering, is there an airtight house underneath this lake, this transcendental lake, so that she could breathe? So I wrote to Prabhupada and he said, no, just as one can learn the art of living in a house of air, so one can learn the mystic art of living in a house of water. So here you see that she's living in that house. And this one, for the 10th canto, also done under Srila Prabhupada's direction, is the Lord's appearance in his four-armed form of Lord Vishnu, and then changing into the baby at the request of Vasudev and Devaki. Here he's appearing as Lord Vishnu, not as a baby, which means, as Srila Gurudev explains, he's not actually the son of Vasudev and Devaki. He actually appeared to them as God, so they only partly saw him as their son and partly as God. Whereas Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, they only saw Krishna coming out of her womb as a baby. So even when Krishna performed miraculous feats like holding a mountain on the little pinky of his left hand for 7 days, they still couldn't imagine that he was God. And therefore their relationship and service is much more intimate. And that is our goal, as taught by all the pictures and all the scriptures and all of our spiritual masters, that our goal is to enter into the beautiful, sweet pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan and serve there. Next. And this is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam was first spoken by the great sage Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was originally in that kingdom of God, in the abode of the Lord, in his transcendental pastimes. He is a parrot of Krishna's supreme power and eternal consort, Srimati Radhika. So when Krishna and Radha and all of their companions were ready to leave the world after their pastimes came to a completion, they ordered this parrot to stay in the world and propagate the science of Krishna consciousness. So that parrot was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva, and then that parrot flew into the mouth of the wife of Vyasadeva, who is that blue personality kind of leaning forward with the beard. And his wife is there, pregnant. And she's pregnant with Sukadeva Goswami, who entered her mouth because her mouth was wide open as she was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gurudev said that when you hear from the bona fide spiritual master, you should keep your eyes wide open and your ears wide open and your mouth wide open. Why? So that transcendental knowledge in the form of that sukha parrot can enter your mouth, and then you'll be situated in reality. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the reality distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. And that reality uproots the threefold miseries. So here Sukadeva Goswami spent 11 years in her womb, and he wouldn't come out because he didn't want to come to this world of Maya. And his father couldn't convince him to come out. So he called for Krishna, who's here. in Dwarka, and Krishna himself convinced him that, oh, please come out and I will give you all protection from Maya. So he came out and spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Next. And now we're coming to the halfway point in this presentation. So during this halfway point, while we see Hiranyakashipu trying to throw his son, Prahlad, off his lap, we have a commercial. And in this commercial, I would like to announce that we have a wonderful new thing that I think most of you haven't seen yet, which is the 2008 Vaishnava calendar. And it's has whatever Bhudara Prabhu put on his website calendar. The only difference between this and the website calendar is that this one is in your house in front of you in case you forget to go on the website till the day after Ekadasi. And you can just paste it right on your refrigerator where you go to take the boga for the day. And it tells the different countries, like London it would tell, and it tells what countries perform Ekadasi on a certain day, and then what country performs Ekadasi on the next day. And not only that, it has the Puran times, so that even certain countries or cities may observe a holiday on a certain day, but their Puran time may be an hour different. So this calendar tells the exact time. And there'll be on the back table in a limited number, so you can get them right after the very, very inexpensive. Especially since we're already a few months into the year, you'll get a big discount for the 2007. I'm sorry. You'll get a big discount because you're missing some of the months already past. Also, if you come up to me after the discourse. I have a limited number of these cards of one of the paintings, that second one there, of Krishna begging Radhika for her mercy. So we're just giving these out as free presents. You can use them as greeting cards or place them on your table. And then also free to the first come, first serve, is we'll be showing some paintings next in the Gurudev division of the presentation. Paintings that we did under Srila Gurudev's guidance of Gita Govinda. Very beautiful pastimes of separation of Radha and Krishna. And Srila Gurudev's sannyasi disciple Sripad Muni Maharaj is singing very beautiful, singing that Gita Govinda, the Sanskrit verses of Gita Govinda, in very beautiful melody with beautiful instrumentation, and you can just come and get them. And also, we have, which I will have up here right now, the box of them is supporting the projector, slide projector. For those of you who don't have this, these are Srila Prabhupada's bhajans. As mentioned earlier, he descended from the kingdom of God, and even while he was here in this world present, he was still living in the kingdom of God at the same time. And with his divine, beautiful voice, he's singing many, many beautiful bhajans. And we have 8 or 9 different varieties of CDs with sometimes with his purports explaining the songs. And on each CD there's about 4 or 5 different bhajans. So you can come and get them from me after the program. And they're very, very cheap. Only $4 for each one.
Pounds.
I'm sorry, pounds. So now back to our program. Now this is also done under Srila Prabhupada's direction. Hiranyakashipu, the very evil demoniac father of Prahlad Maharaj,
Lord Maharaj was preaching to his father Krishna consciousness, and his father tried to kill him in so many ways because he couldn't stand to hear the glories of the Lord. And Gurudev tells us we should be strong like Prahlada Maharaj and preach everywhere without fear, and Krishna will give you all protection. And Krishna gave him so much protection. He came in his form as half lion, half man. And when Hiranyakashipu was trying to destroy his son, the Lord came and killed his father. And because his father was the father of his devotee, he gave his father liberation, even though he was such a great demon that he used to torture all of his citizens. So the Lord is ferocious for the non-devotees and is the great protector for his devotees. And the instructions for painting Lord Nrisimhadev and Lord Shesha, the million-headed serpent who is acting as the umbrella and the throne of the Lord, is also all done under Srila Prabhupada's direction. And this is Krishna's pastimes. Some of his pastimes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, imitating the animals with his friends. And Krishna lying down, playing his flute and attracting all the animals and demigods and rivers of Vrindavan. This is Krishna playing his flute and attracting all the gopis. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev always tell us that we should be like the gopis. And when Krishna or Krishna consciousness is calling, then we should drop all of our maya right on the spot and not feel obliged to continue just because it's in the middle. But we can follow the gopis and drop everything. Somebody was feeding her baby, somebody was milking cows, somebody had her bread in the oven, somebody was dressing herself, somebody was putting a makeup on one eye. Not that we should drop our children in the middle, but drop any material relationship with the children and help make the children Krishna conscious. So I was just reading one purport of Srila Prabhupada this morning when he was explaining, no matter what our activity is, externally, whether we're a Brahmin or a warrior, a politician, a writer, a farmer, whatever we are externally, by our nature and by our external service to the Lord, or to maintain our families, we should always remember, this is Prabhupada, not Gurudev, we should always remember that our internal identity is Gopi Bharta Padakama Ayo Dasa Dasa Nadasa. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Okay, next. And this is for the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I said Srila Prabhupada and not Gurudev because everybody knows that Gurudev always says that, but we don't know that Prabhupada also always says that. This is 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of the maidservants and assistants of Radha and Krishna decorating them and offering them foodstuffs. And when Prabhupada saw this picture that we did in 1971 or 72, he said, you have captured the essence. The essence is Radha and Krishna and all of their maidservants and associates performing their worship. This is Krishna in Dwarka, which is 16,108 wives. When he saved the 16,000 princesses who were kidnapped by a great demon. Okay. This is Lord Brahma created at the beginning of his creation, creating Lord Shiva and the four Kumaras. And here's Lord Shiva and Narada Muni discussing Krishna conscious topics, the same topics that we're discussing now. Now, We'll come to the second half of the presentation, the paintings that were done under the guidance of Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj, who will be speaking in just 1 week at a 1 week long Harikatha festival of the nectar, pastimes, and philosophy of the Lord. And whereas I'm speaking and giving information, what Srila Narayana Maharaj, Srila Gurudev give is the reality of the thing. As he speaks, as I speak, bas, that's the end, I speak, and give the information. But when he speaks, this is him at a previous Harikatha festival in, where?
This is Germany last
year. Germany last year. About 700 to 1,000 people attended. And when he speaks, simultaneous to the transcendental sound vibration coming from his lotus mouth, which is mixed with the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord, by hearing which, one who has forgotten the Lord for many millions of births can very easily remember him, reestablish his relationship with him. So as Srila Gurudev is speaking, simultaneously, Prem atoms emanate from the pores of his body, and from his glance, Shabda Brahman, or transcendental existence, and also more transcendental love of God, emanates from his body, and it becomes infused in the bodies and minds and hearts of all those who are present. So I know most of you are coming, but those who are new, who are guests, we invite you to please take a week off and come to the festival. It's totally life transformational. And after the program, the devotees will tell you about it. So this is Srila Gurudev looking at one of the paintings as it was beginning. And everything that we did for him was done under his guidance. Even in this picture, the picture of Krishna disguised as a singer from Mathura, Gurudev is saying the arms aren't the right shape, it should taper like an elephant's trunk, and the jewelry should be such and such a way, and Krishna should look younger. And again, Srila Gurudev, just as you saw in the painting for Srila Prabhupada of the spiritual master and the disciple, so Gurudev fully guided this picture of for his Bhagavad Gita translation, which is a sequel to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, where Srila Vyasadeva is infusing his disciple, Sanjay, with Divya Drishti, or transcendental vision. And because his disciple was his fully surrendered soul, carried out all of his instructions and took them in his heart. So by receiving that transcendental vision, Sanjaya is able to tell the blind king, in the next picture, the blind king, Dhritarashtra, exactly what was happening simultaneous to his speaking. He was speaking what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, 90 miles away. So he's telling the king that because Arjuna is surrendered to Krishna, wherever there's Krishna and Krishna consciousness, there'll always be supreme opulence and victory. And here Krishna, this is also not only done under Gurudev's guidance, but Gurudev literally posed to the horses with his arms, with his teeth, with his eyes. And I kept getting it wrong, and he kept posing to show me again and again. Gurudev is the one who said that the insides of the horses, the air should be sham or blue color, because they're Krishna's special celestial horses, and they're just ready to go. They're ready. They're waiting for Krishna to finish his instructions and Arjuna to surrender and Arjuna to be ready to fight. Gurudev also posed for Krishna speaking to Arjuna, and he also posed for Hanuman sitting in a warrior position, holding the club on the flag. And here is Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur writing the commentaries. And you also see this picture on the jikwe on the altar here. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur is writing the commentary to Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, and you can, I think they have Gurudev's Gita as well as Prabhupada's Gita on the back table, which you can get after the program, which is a must for anyone who wants to advance in spiritual life. And he is weeping because the deep imports of the Gita are being revealed in his heart. And as Srila Gurudev was guiding this picture as it was advancing, and with the kind of papers that he was writing on, not regular paper, but on leaves, and the table, and the ink, and the pen, all was done under Gurudev's guidance. And Gurudev even explained that, you see that cave-like kind of kunj on where the pointer is? He said that not only did the devotees decorate the kunjas in the spiritual world, but the kunja, that is the forest groves full of beautiful creepers and flowers and vines, they decorate themselves because they're fully conscious entities and they also want to serve the Lord and his associates. So they decorate themselves with their flower arrangements. So that's what happened there in the Kunj Gate. And this is the first painting I did for Gurudev, which he also posed for Radha and Krishna, and gave all the details, the color of Krishna's shirt, and that it's transparent, and what Krishna's thinking, what he's begging Srimati Radhika, what the two birds, right above Radharani's head, there are two birds speaking, male and female bird, what they're talking about, the meaning of the creepers and the wrapping itself around the tree, the substances and the containers, the flute at Radharani's feet, all that was done under Gurudev's guidance. The tears, due to what they're thinking and saying. So the painting is very big. If you go to our temple at Sri Rupa Sanatan Gaudiya Mutt in Vrindavan, Srila Gurudev is inviting you all to come for Kartik this year, and then to Navadvip. So if you come for Kartik to Vrindavan, you'll see the original painting, which is about 5 feet long, and with real vines and statues of peacocks and deers, and it's just like you're entering the scene. So it took so long to make, it took about 5 months, because everything I did didn't look right, and I had to keep changing it and going over it. And every time I would show it to Gurudev, he would give more and more direction. So after about 5 months, when the picture was just about done, I told him that previously the paintings that I did for the Prabhupada's books, only took about a month, and sometimes less when we had a fast marathon that we had to paint for. Sometimes they only took 2 weeks or even a week. But this one took 5 months. So why was that? So Gurudev said, the previous pictures, they were done more by your will. But this one, I had to push my will through your will, and that's what was taking so long. And then, for the cover of his book, Venu Geet, and we have posters of these, all these pictures that we did under Gurudev's direction, we have posters of them all on the back table. And they're very, very inexpensive, and all the proceeds go to the Ganga Mata's temple so that they can distribute more books and share with more people all over London and put on more programs just like this one. So Gurudev wanted the Venu Geet painted, and again he gave all the directions that Krishna's in the middle and Baladev and the elder coward boys are forward, because the elder coward boys are not supposed to be there when Krishna meets with the gopis. But as you can see, Balaram is purposely going ahead so that he won't be an obstacle to the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but you can see that his eye is looking back so that he really knows what's going on. And then you can see on his belt, not on his belt, in his hand, which is kind of over his shoulder, he's carrying a, what is that? A buffalo horn, what's it called, Shringa, how do you say it in English? Buffalo
horn. Horn, yeah.
So I asked Gurudev, isn't that like violence, that you have to pull the horn off the buffalo to get the buffalo horn? So he said, no, it's only called a buffalo horn, but actually it's only called that because it's shaped like that, but it's made of green leaves, it's made of leaves. So if you look closely at the original painting, you see it's dark green. And the gopis are actually in their own homes, and they're singing their Venu Geet, their songs of glorification of Krishna's flute, and how all the other creatures and all the other boys and the cows and the calves and the deer and the rivers and the demigods, everybody else in Vrindavan is able to see Krishna's pastimes and serve him there, but we're so unfortunate, we're not able to. So their lamentation, their lamenting into their verses became so much overpowering to their hearts that they actually entered into their verses. And that's why they're the gurus of bhajan, because they became so absorbed in the utterance and singing of their songs, which later on became verses. They weren't singing verses. They became verses for us. They became so absorbed that they actually entered into their songs, and because the song is the reality, Krishna himself is the song. When Brahmins say their Gayatri mantras, those Gayatri mantras are the presiding deity of the mantras themselves. They're Krishna and his pastimes, Mahaprabhu and his pastimes, Radharani and her pastimes, the Guru and his pastimes. That's what those mantras are. So similarly, the gopis entered into their songs, and that's how they ended up in the painting, which is the painting of their song. So their teaching and the song entered their hearts, and they entered the heart of their song. So they're teaching how to do bhajan and what is the goal of bhajan. And as mentioned earlier, Krishna is so eager to taste the love of his devotees, particularly the love of his greatest worshipper, Srimati Radhika, that he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he appeared with his brother Balaram in the form of Nityananda Prabhu. And they came with their millions of associates. And I asked Gurudev, I didn't want to directly ask him if he was in the painting. So I asked him if Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I figured if he could answer that question with a yes, then I knew he was there too. I said, can I understand that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada are among the chanters? And Gurudev said, yes, they're there. So that means he's also there as one of the chanters, but I don't know which one. And so there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya with a white beard, and next to him at the end is Srivas Thakur, and in the middle of Gornitai is Sri Gadadhar Pandit. And this is Srimati Radhika as Jai Sri. Jai means victory. She's always victorious over Krishna, and he's always the highest feature of the Supreme Lord is his subordination to Radhika. Oh, and he just happened to be there when Radharani was going to Jamuna or Radhakun to get, not Radhakun, Jamuna, to get water in her water pots. So he just happened to be there, knowing she would be going there. And he said, oh, I see that you have two heavy pots. Can I help you carry one? And she said, no, thank you. I'm a very chaste housewife, and you're a debauchee. I'm not interested in speaking with you. And that just increased Krishna's eagerness more, for more loving conversations. And sometimes when Radharani won't speak to Krishna when he wants to, and she sends him away, then she laments in separation that why did I send him away? What is the use of my life without him? And Gurudev said in one lecture in Los Angeles that the goal of our life is to serve Radharani in her pastimes of separation. So these pastimes that you see in these paintings are in that book, Gita Govinda. So again, these are the songs that our Muni Maharaj's singing and these CDs, which you're welcome to get. Next. And this is a similar picture to the divine couple of Krishna begging Srimati Radhika that I know I made an offense, but please forgive me and please put your lotus feet on my head so that my burning fire separation can be extinguished and my life can be successful. So Krishna is teaching to follow the Guru Parampara, and his Guru, God is the Guru of all, Brahma is the first Guru, and Srila Gurudev is the modern, present manifestation of the complete principle of the truth of Guru. And Krishna's Guru is Srimati Radhika. So he looks for all opportunities to hear from her about her Krishna consciousness, or her, in other words, her locket of love, her treasure chest of love. So here he even disguised himself as a demigoddess from heaven, and dressed himself in a pink sari, and came to her house in Yavat, pretending that he's a damsel from heaven, with that poster is also in the back, and telling her that I've seen Krishna from heaven, and when I descended to this earth, I watched how he cheated you, and I think that nobody has all the great qualities that you have, but you have one bad thing about you, is that you don't know how to choose who to fall in love with. Krishna is the worst person you could have fallen in love with. And he just said that so that he could hear from her about her love locket. And that book will be out for distribution, hopefully by Kartik in Vrindavan this year. And this book is out, and you can get it from many of the book distributors here, called Chamatkar Chandrika, which is four astonishing pastimes. This one is Krishna disguised as a singer from Mathura that I mentioned before. And Gurudev said very interestingly, although these are very confidential pastimes, Srila Gurudev said that they can go out to all the non-devotee meat eaters, wine drinkers, LSD takers, debauchees, murderers, and everybody can all get secretis by having them. So they make very excellent gifts, so if you want to get several and give them out for birthdays, bar mitzvahs, anniversaries, births, people that you're cultivating and people that you have cultivated and have given a nice service and you want to thank them. And this is a very interesting story too. I think this is the last one, isn't it, Anita?
Yeah.
This is the last one. This has a very interesting story. As you know, in Prabhupada's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the summary, the nectar of devotion, Mother Yasoda is described as a complexion of a blue lotus flower. But we were painting her as golden for so many years. So then Gurudev requested us to paint this picture of Mother Yasoda and Krishna for his book, Damodarastakam, the pastimes of Krishna as a young boy. And so we painted her golden. And we were showing Gurudev the painting as it was being painted. And he was giving little suggestions like, make Krishna's feet smaller, or make her veil this color, make it very transparent. And then he saw the cover of the book, and he said he liked the cover, and then we showed him the finished painting after he saw the cover of the book, and he just gave a little suggestion on Krishna's effulgence. And then we printed all the posters, and then we presented him the first batch of posters that were printed, and then he said, Mother Yasoda shouldn't be golden, she should be blue. So then the posters were already printed. We asked him if it's all right to distribute what we have, and he said yes, but for whatever you do in the future, make her blue. So he sent this computer picture to Gurudev for his approval, and he said, yes, this is her color, and so when they're printed in the future, she'll be like this. This shows that Krishna's, although no one can bind the Supreme Lord who has millions of universes in his belly, he was able to be bound by love. So we want to follow Mother Yasoda in the way she loves Krishna. And Srila Gurudev tells so many pastimes, because Mother Yasoda is an expansion of Srimati Radhika. Radhika is the embodiment of Madhurya Ras, which includes all the other rasas. So motherly love, Vatsalya Ras, is also included in Srimati Radhika. Yasoda's love is also included in Srimati Radhika. So Gurudev wants us to first get the taste of those parts of her, the Vatsalya Ras and the friendship. He tells so many stories of Krishna and his coward boyfriends to prepare us to understand the depth of the Madhurya Rasa, Srimati Radhika, and the gopis, who have the love of the coward boys and the love of Mother Yasoda, the love of the servants, the love of, those are all, with the addition of Madhurya Ras, which brings that those other rasas up to Madhurya Ras. Does that make sense? So I think we'll end here, and we'll ask if there's any questions and comments, and just for 5 minutes, and the lights can go on now, and then after the questions and comments, Anita, if I can have those Prabhupada CDs from you. And if you get a full set, then you're only 3 times. And the calendars and the CDs and everything. And you can come up to me and I'll give you all those things. So are there any questions or comments? And then after that, there'll be Arti and then Prashad. Are there any questions? Yes? The Bhagavatam? The question is, who spoke Srila Vyasadeva, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Srila Vyasadeva's wife, Srila Vyasadeva? He was right there, in the, behind Krishna in the picture.
Why did she
say I'm sorry?
Why did she say
he was speaking it to his wife, and then Sukadeva Goswami came out of the womb, and he immediately left home. So, Srila Vyasadeva, his father, wanted to train him to be the speaker for the for Maharaj Parikit and the great assembly of sages from all over the universe. So he brought him back by sending some hunters out to chant some verses from the Bhagavatam. And he became attracted and came back, became like a madman hearing the verses of the Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, he came back and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, when Parikit Maharaj was leaving the world, he came to speak it. And then Vyasadeva gave the great contribution of dictating it to his scribe, Ganesh, the elephant headed demigod, and then it became dictating it. From his trance, because it was actually, this Bhagavatam is actually Bhagavat Swarup. It's the personification of Radha and Krishna themselves. And therefore, very interesting, when Gurudev has his Hare Katha festivals, and the subject is, the main subject is Srimad Bhagavatam. In Badger just now, this last week, it was the 11th canto, and previous to that, in Houston, Hawaii, and San Francisco, it was the 10th canto, starting from Krishna's baby pastimes, and starting from the chapter Shloki, and then going up to first canto, and then coming to Krishna's 10th canto pastimes in Vrindavan, and then Dwarka. So he had the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of him on the lectern, And before he spoke, he had everybody stand and do arti to the Srimad Bhagavatam, singing Jaya Jaya Radha Krishna Juga Nila Narati Padai Vai Tari Satyam, which means that the Srimad Bhagavatam is himself Radha and Krishna Juga with their pastimes and with the gopis worshipping them. So it's very interesting. Prabhupada also used to say that you can, because some book distributors, a husband and wife, were going out in a van, and they asked Prabhupada in a letter if they should bring deities with them so they could do arti, so they could have their programs and distribute. And Prabhupada said, "You don't understand, you can do arti to my books." Any other question or comment? Yes, Guru?
Sorry if it's not directly related to the class, but I was speaking out of time.
Louder?
Sorry if it's not directly related to what you're saying, but I was wondering this. Is God, Radha and Krishna, two forms, one in two forms? And if so...
Is God two forms in one in two forms? And if he is, why am I saying he, and why do we always address God as Krishna, the masculine? If God is both Radha and Krishna, or is God Krishna and Radha is an expansion? It's just something I was wondering.
Very good question. So, Shakti Matayor Abheda, the Vedas say. That is, there's no difference between the energetic and the energy, or God and his power. Just imagine if you don't have any energy. Do you ever remember what it feels like if you don't have any energy? And imagine if you had absolutely no energy. Like even when you're like that, you have the energy to moan and groan. But imagine if you had absolutely no energy. What would you be? Dead. So simply, there's no such thing as God without his energy. There's no such thing as the sun. Can you imagine sun without sunlight? Would there be such a thing as sun? Or would there be such a thing as sunlight? Rama, can I have what's on there? Would there be such a thing as sunlight without sun? So God, or the absolute truth, means Radha and Krishna. Once there was a picture of Radha and Krishna on Prabhupada's lectern. You know, he has a little table that he would have his books. So he took the picture of Radha and Krishna and put it to his head, offered obeisances to the picture, and then he said, God is in the form of male and female combined. But not understanding this and tasting the bitterness of their own rascaldom of mundane sex life, they think that Radha and Krishna is similar rascaldom. And so they say, therefore, God is impersonal. So yes, God is Radha and Krishna. I once asked him at the end of one class in Australia that you say that Radharani is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everything, and Radharani is his expansion. And yet you say that Radha is superior to Krishna. So how do we reconcile that? So he replied by saying, which got a great applause from the audience, that the fruit is coming from the tree, but the fruit is superior to all other parts of the tree. Sweeter. Any last question? Loud? Sorry?
An instrument for Gurudev. Gurudev's instrument. How to become an instrument.
I wish I was a good flute to really be an instrument. He said all my disciples and followers should be like hollow flutes so that I can breathe my song into them. And they can play just me and not anything else in their heart. Thank you for your kind words. Sean? I'm sorry?
Who do we make checks payable to? Who do we pay? Who do we get the money to?
Kamala?
Yeah.
Who do they make it to?
Dangamata Gaudiya.
Yeah, sure. And for these, all the proceeds go to Gurudev's book fund. And the posters, all the proceeds go to the Gagamaitis. And all the books, that goes to the Gagamaitis because they're their books. But this, if you write a check, it should go to Bhakti Projects. Okay. So, for Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. 1 minute to your time. And after the kirtan, you can come forward to get this thing.